The ants go marching seven by seven. The little one said, we're going to
heaven.
And they all go marching down.
Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. I'm your host, Lance Huntsman.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Huntsman.
This show is about families getting to heaven. Our family is heaven bound.
You should come too.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast. Today we're recording episode number
26.
26, that's right. Episode 26. We missed a couple of weeks again. Labor Day weekend kind of threw us off 1 week, and we had some more changes happening around here, and it might be a little harder for us to record for a couple of weeks. I'm going to try to get them done. I am having to move my recording studio and trying to make room for it at home, because that would be easier for us if I can get it there, and Christy will be able to help more often, but it'll also be a lot more noises with dogs and chickens and neighbors and things like that. So, but we're trying to figure some different things out, but hopefully we'll get back on schedule very soon. Thank you so much for listening and sticking with us. Miss Taylor, what have you been up to lately?
Yesterday I've been building a Jeep.
Building a Jeep? Now you have to explain that, because we're not making a car out in the driveway to drive around. And what are you using to build a Jeep?
It's a Minecraft and jungle blocks of jungle wood.
Okay, so you're playing a game called Minecraft. And I think we may have mentioned that on here before. It's a computer game where you can build pretty much anything that you want, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually taking a class as part of your homeschool this year, taking a class learning how to build things in Minecraft. And it's more than just building. You're learning about different ecosystems, because the game has all different maps. Last week you did a desert map. And what is your map this week?
A jungle map.
A jungle, a rainforest. And so you're building where, I don't think you started your project yet. I think you've been practicing. What kind of a house are you going to build on the jungle map this week?
I already built one.
Did you build it already?
Yeah.
Oh, what did you build?
A house.
What kind of house? Where is it?
It's a water house surrounded by water to keep cool.
A water house surrounded by water. Did you put it in the top of a tree?
No, it's inside the water.
It's inside the water. Okay.
That's why I call it a water house.
That makes sense. I thought you told me that you were going to build one in the top of a tree, and I thought you hadn't done it yet. So that's why I was asking what you were going to do, but you went with a water house instead. So the river runs all around it and helps keep it cool in the rainforest, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's a fun little thing we spend a little bit of time doing every week. Not as much as she would like, because you love playing Minecraft, don't you?
Yeah.
But we're using it to help learn, and she's building some really neat things. So that's pretty fun. Well, today we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. Last episode, we kind of jumped out of our study of just the life of Jesus. Really, we just jumped ahead. We jumped way ahead so we could talk about a question that you had asked. And so this week, we're jumping back, and we're going to find ourselves in Luke chapter 5, if you're reading along with us. And we're going to start reading in verse 27. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. You know, Jesus grew up from being a little kid, and they went down to the synagogue to worship, or they went to the temple when they were in Jerusalem, and he had friends, and other people knew who he was. Well, I mean, they knew he was a kid named Jesus, and then he grew into a young man named Jesus, but it was a long time before anybody found out that he was the Son of God. And he had a lot of friends, and he probably helped a lot of people probably encouraged a lot of people to go to the synagogue to worship God and probably did a lot of good things. He probably had a lot of influence on certain people. And then after he was baptized and then the Holy Spirit came down on him, the Bible says like a dove. It wasn't really a dove. It was the Holy Spirit, but it happened like a dove. And he started performing miracles and helping people. And some of those are the things that we've been studying about, is ways that he did miracles to help people and to teach people. Then he would go along and he would pick out some really good men that he knew would be good helpers for him. And he would say, hey, I want you to follow me. I want you to help me. I want you to come with me. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we think he just was walking along with complete strangers and said, follow me. And they just jumped up and left everything and they didn't know anything about him. I think they knew a lot about him. And I think they knew that he was somebody they could trust. And especially now that they're finding out even more because he has miracles and he says he's the Son of God, they're very excited to follow him. And today we're going to learn about another one of these men who Jesus said, you know what, it's time for you to come and be my helper. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 27, it says, after that he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. Now, Levi, there's another name for Levi. This person is named Levi, or his other name is Matthew. Have you heard of Matthew before?
Yeah.
Yeah, where have you heard Matthew before?
In the boat in the Sea of Galilee.
In the boat in the Sea of Galilee?
Yeah, Matthew was one of the men in the boat.
Okay, what were those men called?
Fishermen.
Well, Matthew wasn't a fisherman, but he rode in the boat with them sometimes because they all followed Jesus because they were all his, what?
Disciples.
Yeah, that's right. But Matthew wasn't a fisherman. Luke 5, verse 27 and 28 tell us what kind of job Matthew had, or Levi had. It says he was a tax collector, and he worked in a tax booth. Do you know what taxes are?
Yeah.
What are taxes?
It's how much money you have to pay.
Who do you have to pay that money to?
The storekeepers.
Well, when we go shopping, when we buy things, we pay for the things we buy, and then we pay a little bit extra. And the little bit extra is called tax. And we do pay some tax to the storekeepers, but then we also pay tax. Oh, we pay lots of taxes in a lot of different places. Do you remember the cartoon Robin Hood?
Yeah.
Yeah? And the sheriff of Nottingham was going along, and he was knocking on people's doors, and what was he collecting?
Tax.
Tax. And people had to give him money for tax, and do you know who he went and gave it to?
Who?
Prince
John.
Prince John, that's right.
And I thought it was the king.
Well, he was pretending to be the king. The king was gone. In the story, King Richard was gone, and at the end, King Richard came back, and Prince John got in trouble. So Prince John was pretending to be the king because the king was gone. But the prince or the king in that movie, in that story, is the one that is in charge of everything. And he's the one that has to hire guards to go guard the place. And he's the one that hires the sheriff to take care and make sure people are being good. And all those guards and the sheriff and all the people that work for the king, well, he has to have money. So where does he get his money? Well, he charges the people tax. In America, we don't have a king. What do we have?
A voter.
Well, yeah, we vote. We get to vote. And who do we vote for?
I don't know.
Well, it's called the president. We have one guy that's sort of in charge of the whole country. He has a lot of help, and there's a big messed up system that's behind him. But we have one guy that's called the President of the United States. And then there's a a whole group of people that are called Congress and senators, and they all work to help make our country run. And then in our state, we live in the state of Oklahoma, our state has somebody that's a governor that helps make rules and helps take care of the state of Oklahoma. And the governor has their own helpers and their own offices that people take care of us. And then when you keep getting smaller and smaller, even down to just the city that we live in, the city has policemen that help take care of us, or they're supposed to. And the policemen, or I mean the city has a mayor that helps make decisions. And all these people, they have jobs, but they're supposed to be working for us, for the people, to make rules and to enforce those rules and to help us to be safe and to have a good time. And so they all have to get money somewhere, don't they?
Yeah.
When they come to work to protect us, somebody has to pay them. Well, who pays them to protect us? We do. And the money that we pay so that we can have policemen taking care of us and mayors and governors and senators and presidents that are supposed to be doing the job that we want them to do, and that's not always the case, but the reason those people all can make money to feed their families is because we pay them a little bit of money, and that money is called taxes. Okay? So in the Bible...
I thought taxes were just gold coins.
Well, tax is any kind of money. Tax can be gold coins or silver coins, or it can be dollar bills.
I call them gold coins.
Okay, well, you can only call them gold coins if they're coins and if they're made out of gold. If it's a paper dollar bill, then it's not a gold coin, is it? It's a dollar bill. Okay, and we pay taxes. Sometimes we don't even use real money. We just write a check, and the bank says, okay, we'll give them that money out of your bank account. So Matthew, that's what he did. His job was for the government, which at this time was the Romans. The Jews lived in Jerusalem where they belonged, but the Romans were the ones in charge of Jerusalem. And so Matthew, or Levi, worked for the Romans, and he collected taxes. And it says he was working in a tax booth. I'm not sure exactly what that looked like. I get a couple of different pictures in my mind. The first
picture... What's a booth?
One idea that I think of is in the Charlie Brown and Snoopy cartoons. Yeah. When, what was her name? Lucy?
Yeah.
Would set up a little booth and offer... Oh, she'd offer everything. It seems like usually psychiatric help. But sometimes she would change the sign and it would be different things. And it would just be a little booth and somebody could walk up to her and visit with her and pay her to get help. It might have been a little table that he would sit at. Or the other thing that I think of is when we go to the snow cone stand. And it's just a tiny little building that sits over by itself. And the only thing they do is sell snow cones. And we can walk up or drive up to the window. And we tell them what kind of snow cone we want. And we give them our money and they give us a snow cone. And then we drive away. He might have had a little building that looked like a snow cone stand for him to sit in. That's what a booth is. It's just a little table or a little bitty building. Some place to sit and have a little office outside. His booth might have even been by the temple, actually, to make it easy for people.
Or by the river.
Or by the river. That'd be a good cool place to have a booth, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But it was somewhere where he was going to see lots of people so he could make them pay their taxes. And it says, while he was sitting there, Jesus came by, and I think he knew who Jesus was. Even though he worked for the Romans, he was a Jew. He believed in God. And Jesus came by, and Jesus said, follow me. And it says that Matthew, or Levi, left everything behind and got up to follow him. Now, I don't know if somebody else was there with him, or if he was there by himself. I don't know if he had been collecting money and all that money was sitting there. He might have gotten in trouble for walking away to follow Jesus. I don't know. Maybe he was able to lock it so nobody could get it. Or maybe he took the money with him so he could turn it in. Or maybe he didn't have any money yet. But his little booth was there, and he was working. He was at work doing his job, and Jesus said, there's something more important. You need to follow me. And so it says he got up and he followed him because he knew that was very important. Now, here's something that's really neat, because it says in verse 29 that Levi, or Matthew, same person, gave a big reception for Jesus in his house. He followed Jesus and he said, you know what? I really love what you're doing, and I'm really excited about the things that you're saying and how you want to help people. He said, why don't you let me throw a little party for you? Let's go back to my house, and I'll get a bunch of people to come over, and then you'll be able to sit and tell them anything you want to tell them. That's what Matthew was saying. He's so excited to be able to share Jesus with other people. He didn't just follow him and say, what do you want me to do now? He said, I know some people that need to meet you, Jesus. I know some people that need to listen to what you're saying, and I want to bring you home, and I want to invite all these people over. It says he gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people reclining at the table with them. Matthew went home and invited, see, he was a tax collector, so he worked with other tax collectors. So he knew a bunch of people that he worked with. And he didn't just say, well, you guys go on fishing without me this time. I've got something I'm going to do. I'm going to go visit with this Jesus guy. But you guys go ahead and have fun and do what you want. He said, no, this is important. I found somebody that is just an amazingly wonderful person, and he teaches good things, and he does good things to help people. You guys need to all... And they're like, well, wish we had a place to get together. He said, you know what? We don't need a place. We have a place. Let's all come over to my house. I didn't even know if his house was very big. It might have been, because usually tax collectors made a lot of money. And that might have been good. It might not have been good. Some of them were not very honest when they collected taxes.
What is honest?
Honest? What does it mean to be honest?
I don't know.
To tell the...
truth.
To be honest means to tell the truth or to do the right thing. And so sometimes people that were collecting taxes would go around and say, you have to give me this much money. They might say, you have to give me a little more, that way I can keep some. Is that honest?
No.
No. So sometimes tax collectors, people knew that they were not honest, that they took too much money. So maybe Matthew did have a big house. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't tell us that he was a bad tax collector. It just says he was a tax collector. So we got to be careful what we decide about him if the Bible doesn't tell us those things. But it tells us that he was excited for Jesus to meet the other tax collectors because he knew that they needed to hear him and follow him. And not just tax collectors, it says a bunch of other people. He gave a big reception, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people reclining at the table with them. Verse 30, but the Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at the disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and the sinners? The Pharisees were the teachers, were the Jewish teachers, and they taught the Bible. And the scribes helped them copy the Bible because they didn't have a computer and a printer like we have today or a copy machine. And if they had a copy of part of the Old Testament, one of the prophets, and they wanted to share it with somebody, they had to sit down and they had to write it all out all over again. And it takes a long time to write with your hand, especially a whole book or a whole letter. And so the scribes and the Pharisees were the ones that taught about...
I usually write little books.
Yeah. The Pharisees and the scribes are the ones that taught the people about God and made copies of the Bible, or at least the Old Testament, the prophecies, the prophets, and the law, the books of law and poetry. And so they thought they were very important because they were the ones that knew about God, and they're the ones that taught about God, and they're the ones that wrote down the books that God gave us. And they saw Jesus and the disciples, and they were all Jews, and they all followed God. They said, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be having a dinner party with these bad people. That's what they said. They got mad at Jesus for going to Matthew's party and having dinner with the tax collectors and some of the other people.
What did they think the some of them were bad.
Well, maybe they knew who they were and they knew they did bad things. Sometimes we see people and we see them in town and we hear them say bad things or we see them do bad things and we go, oh, that's not a good person. I probably should stay away from them. And maybe those Pharisees and scribes knew who the people were. They said, hey, those are bad people. We know where they live and we know where they go and we know the kind of things that they do. And we hear what they say when they're walking up and down the street, and they're not saying good things. It doesn't tell us how they knew. It just says that they knew. And they said, Jesus, you don't have any business eating dinner with bad people. Now, does it sound like a good idea to bring bad people to our house to sit down and eat with us?
No.
It doesn't sound like a good idea, does it?
No.
Why?
Because they might steal all our food.
They might hurt us, or they might steal from us, or they might be nice and they don't want to hurt us, but they might sit and say a bunch of bad things because they don't know they're wrong. There's a lot of reasons that we think that's not a good idea. But what did Jesus do? Did he say, oh no, I can't come and eat with you if there's going to be bad people there? Is that what he said?
No.
No, he went and he ate with them. And so the scribes and the Pharisees asked, why are you doing that, Jesus? That doesn't make any sense. That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, the Pharisees didn't know that the bad people turn good again.
Well, that's a good answer. They didn't know, but why did Jesus want to eat with them?
Because Matthew wanted to throw a party for Jesus.
Yeah, but why did Jesus go? You just said it. What's important about Jesus being nice to people that are bad people? So he can help them what?
Understand the Bible.
Understand the Bible so they can be what kind of people?
Christians,
good people. He wanted to be around bad people so he could help make them into good people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got to be careful who we decide are bad people and who we decide are good people, because we don't always know the right thing. But here's what they asked him, and here's what Jesus said. Verse 31, Jesus answered and said, it is not those who are well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They asked him, why are you eating with these bad people? And Jesus said, I got a question for you. Who goes to see the doctor? Do you need to go see the doctor today?
No.
Why not?
Because
why?
I.
Who goes to see the doctor?
Only sick people do.
Only sick people. Are you sick right now?
No.
So you don't need to see the doctor because you're not sick?
No.
Well, Jesus is kind of like the doctor. And the Pharisees and the scribes think they're the people that are not sick. And they think that the tax collectors and the sinners are the people that are sick. And so Jesus says, since this is what you think, let me tell you how it really works. He says, who goes to see the doctor? He said, it's the sick people. So don't tell me that I can't be around the sick people. Doctors need to be around sick people, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's how they can help them. And Jesus says, I need to be around the bad people to help teach them what it means to be bad and teach them what it means to be good and help make them good people.
Okay.
Yeah?
But why did the Pharisees think the bad people were not sick and the good people were sick?
Well, the Pharisees did a lot of the right things, but they did them for the wrong reason. Let me ask you this. Which one would be better? If you love mommy and daddy so much that when we ask you to clean your room, you wanted to clean your room to make us happy and to make us proud? Or would it be better if you did not love us at all, if you didn't like us, And when we told you to clean your room, you went and cleaned your room just because you thought you had to. Which is better? You clean your room because you had to and you don't really like us? Or you love us so much that you clean your room when we ask you to because you want to make us happy? Which one sounds better?
Loves you so much.
Yeah. Well, the Pharisees were a kind of people that kind of forgot how to love God. And they did the right things. It's kind of like you could clean your room even if you didn't love us and go, well, I have to do this, so I'm going to go do it. Look at me. Look how hard I worked. I did a good job. But they forgot that they were supposed to love God first and then do those things because they loved God. And so that's why they're kind of confused here. And they're looking over at the tax collectors and the other men, and they're saying they don't do either one. They don't love God, and they don't even do what he says. We're better than they are because we do what he says. And Jesus says, yeah, but you don't love me. I'm here to teach them so that they can love me, and then they'll start doing what I said. Does that kind of make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a hard question because the Pharisees in the Bible, they did some things
their
right.
Their brains are mixed up.
That's right. The Pharisees' brains are all mixed up, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be careful today that we don't let our brains get mixed up. Did you know it?
Yeah, that's so silly if our brains get mixed up.
Yeah, I know. And so what's the most important thing for us to do?
Follow Jesus and not have our brains get mixed up.
And not have our brains get mixed up. And love Jesus. Because when we love him, then we want to do the things he asks us to do, don't we?
Yes.
Yes. So now since we talked about Jesus, I'm going to ask you a question again. Is it a good thing or a bad thing if we are nice to bad people?
Good thing.
Why is it a good thing?
Because we're supposed to do good things.
Uh-huh. And how will we help that person if we do good things, even if they're a bad person?
We study the Bible.
We study the Bible. And how does we study with them. We have a chance to teach them about Jesus, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to pick who is good and who is bad. We just need to be nice to everybody. And we need to try to share the Bible with everybody, don't we?
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much for helping me again this week. What do you think about today's lesson? Is there anything you want to tell our listeners?
Bye.
Bye. All right, and welcome to part two. This is going to be super short and sweet. Like I said, we're in the middle of a bunch of things changing around here. But I just kind of want to follow up that lesson. Taylor figured out that the Pharisees' brains were all mixed up and we need to be careful and not let our brains get all mixed up. But I want to challenge you parents to take a look at Matthew's response to Jesus' calling. And I know I'm in the ministry and I see things a certain way, and there's been times when I wasn't in the ministry and just worked a regular job and attended worship and like a lay person, I guess. I know that's not technically correct, but that's where the terminology came from. And I know it's easy to separate our religious life with our regular life sometimes. Or maybe even our religious life bleeds over into almost everything else we do, but then we have our job. And our job is its own little place and its own little time and its own little set of people. And we go to our job, and that's us at work. And then we come home, and then this is us, you know, at home. And it doesn't need to be that way. God challenges us through the scriptures, and Jesus challenges us to be a light to the world around us and to the community. And there's such an amazing and practical lesson in the way Matthew responds to Jesus' calling. He had his religious life of some sort. I don't know a lot about his background, but he was a Jew, and evidently faithful enough of a Jew that he was impacted by Jesus and these things. And then he had the people that he worked with and the people that he knew. Good enough friends that when he called up and said, hey, I'm throwing a dinner party, I want you to meet this guy, they all came. He had a relationship with those people. And it was a group of people that the religious people all recognized. They knew who they were. They knew what they did, what they stood for, and they didn't like them. But Matthew said, "Oh, this is incredible. I've been asked to be a part of something, and I want to bring the other parts of my life into it." And there are other times Jesus teaches, and we haven't talked about them in our podcast yet, but he talks about making the commitment to follow him and severing some other relationships and not putting family and friends and coworkers ahead of him. And I have no doubt in my mind that Matthew lost and severed some of those relationships because people did not believe, especially when you look at the commitment that Matthew made not only in following Jesus, but then eventually in writing one of the Gospels, the kind of person that he turned into. And so I have no problem saying that he probably had to do that. But initially, that wasn't the case. Man, I got to give these guys a chance. Here are some people that I have some influence with. Here are some people that I share a part of my life with, and it's just the working part of my life, and it's not the people that have maybe a great reputation in town. But he didn't run away and shy away from them. He didn't follow Jesus and not tell anybody. He brought those people in to share something with them that was important to him. And I know this is kind of a podcast about parenting. And you say, well, wait a minute, Lance, now you're just getting on to us because we don't evangelize. Well, I don't know that you don't, and I hope that you do. But what I am saying is our children need to see that this is part of our life, and they need to see that it's important for us. And, man, there may be some issues. There may be some safety issues and reasons to go about things today a little different. I'm not just saying automatically open your home up to every single person that comes by. I know I have reached out to some people in the past and later looked back and went, man, that really wasn't a good idea, at least not in that situation and not in that way, because something bad really could have happened. But we need to be, when I'm talking about our coworkers and things like that, I'm assuming you have some sort of relationship with them already, and we're not talking about potential mass murderers on the street that we're bringing in. And don't get me wrong, those people need Jesus as well. But I'm saying there are probably people that you work with that would come over to your house to watch a football game or something like that, that would come over your house for a picnic, especially if some other people that they knew from work were getting together. And when they got there, if you said, hey, by the way, here's something that we do before we eat. You know, I'd like you to put your forks down for a minute. It's very important for us to pray. Or if you said, you know what, something that we do after dinner in the evening is have a family Bible study together. And I know you might be uncomfortable. You don't have to stay, but I would like to welcome you to participate in that with us and send your kids off to bring the Bible and just do it. I'm not saying you have to be sneaky about trying to get them there. Invite them over just for a Bible study if you want, or invite them over for dinner and say, here's something that we do. You're welcome to stay. If not, we're going to do it anyway. The ball game can wait, you know, and show them what is important to you and have that opportunity to share Jesus with them and also be teaching and training and molding your children that these are the kinds of things that are important. So when they grow up, it's second nature to have people over and to visit with them about Jesus instead of going, oh, that's weird. I've never done that before. I've never even seen that before. How do you do it? We've got to make that. We've got to be the ones that break into the weird if we're not doing that right now and make that common and make that normal so that our children see it and plant that seed. So that's my challenge to you. Take a look at the way Matthew reacted here in Luke chapter 5 and how he valued sharing something that he recognized as special, as precious, as valuable with the people that he had a relationship with, that he had an in with. He said, maybe I can't get into some of the greatest places in town, and maybe I don't have a lot of people that'll listen, but here's my group of people. He said, Jesus, I'm going to get them together because I want them to meet you. And that's my challenge for you. Try to make that a part of your life and bring people in to meet Jesus and see how that changes your life and see how that changes the way your children grow up viewing this concept of evangelism. As always, thank you so much for listening. You can find more shows and show notes at heavenboundpodcast.com, and also subscribe if you haven't. Please pass this along. Let someone else know about our show. We appreciate you so much. As always, have a blessed week.